This is The Listening Well. Thanks for being here with us. I'm Shirley Jihad, and we're sharing stories that straddle time. Each of these stories crosses a line from before pandemic to after. This is living and grieving in a time of COVID-19. Even before the pandemic, we were living in a historically lonely moment. For several years now, experts have been drawing attention to the loneliness epidemic. It hits elderly citizens living alone really hard, and also youth, as daily life becomes more and more digital and the distance between us grows. Now, in this current climate, many are confronting loneliness on an even deeper level. As stay-at-home orders went into effect, reporter Isaiah Murtaugh hit record and now shares this personal essay.
I live in Los Angeles, close to the 10 freeway. My apartment is this big, white, 100-year-old block. It has two stories, two big green bushes out front. This is where I've been holed up for about 2 months now. It's really not a bad apartment. I share a bedroom with my roommate, Omar.
Hello.
And there's a big sliding partition that separates it from the living room. We usually keep it open, so it feels a little bigger in here. We've got a bathroom and a kitchen and a grocery store right down the street. Rent is incredibly cheap. It's just that when the governor orders you inside, and it's the only place you can really spend time, it starts to feel a little small. It's something that we're all feeling right now.
But first, moments ago, California Governor Gavin Newsom ordering everyone in the state to stay at home.
We're not victims of circumstance. We can make decisions to meet moments. And this is a moment we need to make tough decisions. We need to bend the curve in the state of California. People will self-regulate their behavior. They'll begin to adjust and adapt as they have been quite significantly.
There's this idea that home is like a place you can walk in and throw your coat on the coat rack and pour yourself a cup of tea and lean back in your chair and feel safe. And sometimes this is that for me. But lately it hasn't been feeling that way. Home is a place where you belong. But being locked inside this little apartment for so long, spending so much time alone, reminds me. Belonging is about more than the furniture you pick out, or a cup of tea, or a coat rack.
You know that feeling that a puppy has when it has no owner?
No.
Sad and lonely. That's how I'm feeling right now.
Omar and I had been watching Avatar: The Last Airbender with our neighbors, Rob and Sarah. But we just found out they're going full isolation. Sarah is pregnant. They want to be safe.
You know that feeling when there's only one red vine in a jar? It's quarantine by itself. That's how
you feel like a red vine in a jar.
Yes. Such a big space, but yet only for one person.
There's two of us.
Two red vines.
I'm really grateful I don't live alone. When Omar is here, just when there's another physical presence in the room, I feel like I can breathe a little easier. But he's been spending a lot of time at his girlfriend's place. April 4th, day 16. A lot of nights look like this. Omar gone, all day bouncing between Zoom conferences and phone calls and Netflix. There's no separation between my apartment as a place to work and my apartment as a place to rest, so I lose track of time. I swear the rug in the living room is starting to get a dark streak where I pace back and forth on phone calls. The one potted plant we have, a theoretically unkillable snake plant, is dying because we keep forgetting to water it. And then night hits, and you haven't been anywhere all day, and no one is coming to see you, and the decorations you have up around your apartment stop being comforting. They're a reminder. You're stuck in the same room, alone. This part of quarantine isn't new to me, the loneliness. But when you're cut off from the people you love, you realize what you had. And one of the things about loneliness is that it's really easy to forget. Other people are lonely too.
Hello.
Hey, Mama. How's it going?
Oh, let me finish saving something really quick.
Okay. The person that probably knows me best in the world is my mom, Lisa. Sorry, I'm a little late.
It's all right. Time is weird these days.
I'm lucky. My family only lives an hour away, and so I've been home twice since all this started, each time for a couple of days. My mom is home alone a lot, too. It's something I probably don't think about enough. My parents divorced when I was little, and with all three kids gone, her house is pretty empty.
It's nice to hear your voice.
Yeah, yours too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't get to hang out more that last weekend.
That's right. I'm becoming more thankful for Caspian.
Caspian is our dog. He's really cuddly. Why?
Because he's here. Because he likes me.
I like you. I'm just not there.
Yeah. What is that? One of those weird those signs that they put on the wall. It's like, home is the place where you belong. If you are home and nobody's there, then you don't really belong to people. And belonging to a thing is not something, as a human, that matters.
My mom and I used to be really, really close. We'd have these long talks over coffee and dinner. Talked on the phone every few weeks. Never as much as she'd like. We're still close, but recently I've been so focused on figuring out my own life, we don't talk as much.
I know I probably don't call you as much as you'd prefer, but like, we do, and I don't know, we haven't talked as much lately, have we?
No.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I think when you said what it was about, what you were interviewing about, I thought I don't feel like I'm home to anybody. I'm maybe stuck at backup home, but I'm not really anybody's home anymore because I'm not the first choice.
It kind of sucks to go through this whole process of analyzing how lonely you are and how you don't feel comfortable in your space. And then to call your mom, who you truly don't call enough, and realize she's just as lonely as you.
That doesn't feel like home. No. Nobody stays long enough to, like, let down their guard. It makes me feel like an obligation. But I can't really let it go because I love them, so.
Do you know what you're going to do?
When specifically, what do you mean?
I don't know, like, this can't be what it's like forever.
Yeah, there's really nothing I can do.
But maybe there is something. My favorite part of the building is the roof. Our landlord keeps the door open, and if we walk lightly and we don't move much, we don't bother the neighbors. From up here, we are a few feet above the level of the 10 freeway. You can see cars rushing back and forth, fewer than before, of course. And it's beautiful. The air is cleaner than I think it's ever been. I don't know what it is, but up here, it's just a little easier to breathe. Quarantine has been good for my relationship with my mom. We're talking every week again. I've seen her 3 times now. I'm lucky she's close enough to visit. People are starving for connection right now. And the best option most of us have is the internet. We've got Zoom classes and cocktail parties and church services. Musicians are holding virtual concerts, putting together virtual choirs. And the narrative around that has been sort of like, look, we're still connecting. The internet is such a gift. And it is. I have no idea how I'd feel if I wasn't able to connect with my family and my friends at all. But it's not the same as being physically present with people, able to read their posture, feel their energy in the room, to shake hands, to hug. And I think it's okay to lament that things really aren't the same. Loneliness was already becoming this society-wide epidemic, but now we're like really, really alone. I'm really looking forward to the big extended party that's gonna happen whenever the whole quarantine lifts. Sooner or later, all this pent-up energy is gonna be exploding out onto the promenades and the sidewalks and the hiking trails. The office is bustling. The postponed weddings and graduation ceremonies will be sort of happening all at once. But after that honeymoon period wears off, are we just going to be lonely all over again? I hope not. We're in this moment where we have this very real, visceral knowledge of loneliness, but also plenty of time to think and dream and scheme and figure out who we want to be and what we want the world to look like when we can be out there again. I have a lot of questions right now about this idea that a real adult is someone who lives alone, cooks, cleans, doesn't kill their plants, and doesn't need anybody. Maybe fixing loneliness means thinking in new ways about our living arrangements. More people living with their parents or their grandparents. People sharing bedrooms even if they can afford their own. Apartment complexes with communal kitchens and living rooms. College dorms that share facilities with nursing homes. A little less independence and privacy. A little more community. There's a lot to figure out. And maybe this quarantine is where that journey starts. From Los Angeles, this is Isaiah Murtaugh.
This is The Listening Well, Living and Grieving in a Time of COVID-19. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any upcoming episodes. Thanks to our editors from PRX, Genevieve Sponsler and John Barth, and big thanks to Sandy Tolan. Our producers are Rebecca Katz, Nancy Guan, Evan Jacoby, and Isaiah Murtaugh. The executive producer is me, Shirley Jihad. This show was made possible thanks to the USC Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism and by PRX, the Public Radio Exchange. Thanks for listening.